الحمد لله، الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد رسوله الأمجد. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله، إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا، إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل بني آدم خطاء، وخير الخطائين التوابون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama and respected brothers,
Masjid al-Aqsa, Bayt al-Maqdis, is no ordinary place. It was this place that was chosen as a stop when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was making Mi'raj. We know on the occasion of Mi'raj, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went where even Jibreel could not go. On such an auspicious journey, he was made to stop at Masjid al-Aqsa. This was the place that was chosen for the greatest congregation that took place on earth. When all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam had gathered and they were led in salah by Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We normally say with a degree of pride and justifiably so that our Nabi is Sayyidul Mursaleen. He is Imamul Mursaleen. He is the leader of all the Anbiya. Where was his leadership established? It was established here in Baytul Maqdis at Masjid al-Aqsa on that night of Mi'raj where Jibreel Amin took hold of his hand and said that you will lead all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam in salah. It was here that the leadership of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was established over the other Anbiya. Masjid al-Aqsa is the first Qibla, as we know. For the entire Meccan period, all the salawat performed by the greatest creation of Allah by all the Sahaba was facing in the direction of Baytul Maqdis. For 16 to 18 months thereafter in Madinatul Munawwara, this was the condition as well. Before the command came that the Qibla should be changed towards the direction of the Kaaba Sharif. After the building of the Haram in Makkatul Mukarramah, the second masjid to be built in the history of humanity was Masjid al-Aqsa. As Muslims, it's the third holiest place after the Haramain Sharifain. Wallahi, one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as narrated by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhumah, ought to encapsulate the great degree of sanctity that Masjid al-Aqsa has in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma explains, there isn't a single inch in Al-Quds, which is Jerusalem, where a prophet has not performed salah or an angel has not stood. Not a inch. That is the auspiciousness of this place, and this is what it ought to be in the eyes of a Muslim. This is where Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam made hijrah to. This is where he spent a great portion of his life. It is here that he passed away. It is here that he is buried. Here is where Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam had brought up and nurtured his sons. It is from Baytul Maqdis that Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was captured and that he was sold. It is here that Dawood alayhi salatu was salam used to make tasbih. And with him, the mountains used to join him in celebrating the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As Allah himself explains, وَسَخَّرْنَا مَعَ دَاوُودَ الْجِبَالَ يُسَبِّحْنَا وَالطَّيْرِ. It is here that Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam made the dua that, oh Allah, grant me such a kingdom, la yambaghi li ahadim min ba'di, that will never be surpassed by anybody after me. This kingdom was granted to him here at Al-Aqsa. It was Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam who completed the building of Masjid Al-Aqsa after the demise of his father Dawud alayhi salatu was salam. Zakariya alayhi salatu was salam was the imam of this very Masjid Al-Aqsa. It was here that Maryam radiallahu anha was informed that you will give birth to a son miraculously. It was here when she asked the question, "Anna yakunu li waladu walam yamsasni bashar," that how can I have a child when no man has ever touched me? It was here that she was given the glad tidings of the birth of Isa alayhi salatu was salam. It was here at Aqsa where she was given fruits out of season. When Zakariya alayhi salatu was salam saw that she was given fruits out of season, then he made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, if you can grant these fruits out of season to Maryam, then definitely due to my old age you can still grant me children. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyibah. The ulama have written that there are 4,000 sahaba buried in this sacred land. We all know the value of one Sahabi, the value of the body of one Sahabi. 4,000 such persons who had seen the greatest creation of Allah with their own eyes are buried in this sacred land. In Abu Dawud Sharif, there is a riwayat that Maymuna radiallahu anha asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that, O Nabi of Allah, tell us about Baytul Maqdis. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it is the land of gathering and it is the land of resurrection. So whether we like it or not, we have a very great ta'alluq and a very great link with Masjid al-Aqsa and with Baytul Maqdis. But respected brothers, what is the condition? It is in this very same area today that my sister and your sister is being stripped naked so that she can be searched at the checkpoint. Stripped naked in front of her young daughter, in front of her young son. Well, I read a report in the week where they mentioned that not only do they strip them naked, they actually even touch them. They take the young girls away to a separate corner and they search them separately. Allah knows what they do to them. To such an extent, and that report mentions, they actually ask the women folk to remove their sanitary pads so that they can check perhaps they're not hiding anything. This very Masjid al-Aqsa, and those are no ordinary women. They profess the same kalima that we profess. They perform the same salah that we perform. Again, I remind you of the words of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al-mu'minuna ka jasadin wahid. That we ought to be like one body because we share the same kalima. You know, they destroy a Palestinian's home. They come and they bulldoze it to the ground, and the next morning they send him the invoice for the cost of the demolition. One psychiatrist mentions with regards to his treatment of Palestinian children, he says 99.4% of the children I have treated suffer from trauma. 99.2% have had their homes bombarded. 97.5% have been exposed to tear gas. 95.8% have witnessed bombardments. 96.6% have witnessed shootings. 30% of them have seen their own family members die before their eyes. Today, as South Africans, we lament the fact that I have to bring up my child in such a dangerous environment. South Africa is such a crime-ridden country. We lament that fact. Imagine those children who are being brought up in the surroundings of Masjid al-Aqsa. Brothers, my message today is not to create a state of despondency. I'm just reminding you, you are aware the statistics are much more, the details are much more. This is just a reminder of what our brothers and our sisters are going through. But remember, this ummah has been through adversities before. This ummah has been through difficulties before. But we need to struggle and then Allah will grant us victory. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Am hasibatum an tadkhulu al-jannah. Do you think that you will enter Jannah? Walamma ya'tikum mathalu alladhina khalaw min qablikum. When they has not yet come to you the like of what came to the people before you. What happened to them? Allah describes their condition. Massathumul ba'sa'u wad-darra'u hatta zulzilu. Suffering and hardship affected them until they were shaken. وَيَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Even the Nabi of that time and the believers of that time, not as an objection but as an inquiry, they asked, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When will the help of Allah comes? Allah reminds us. Allah consoles us. Allah says, "Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb." That remember, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very near. A Muslim does not become pessimistic due to conditions and difficulties. We emerge from hardship. This is a speciality of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We overcome the pain. We use that pain as an energizer, as something to ignite our determination and our ambition. We remember the promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Inna lanansuru rusulana walladhina amanu fil hayati dunya wa yawma yaqumul ashhad. Allah says, O believers, we will help you, we will help the prophets, not only here but in the year after as well. Haqq حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says, we have made it incumbent upon ourselves to help the believers. حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We have made it incumbent upon ourselves to save the believers. This is the promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But sometimes we have to go through that period of difficulty. For me, for you, it might seem like a very extended period. Perhaps all we can remember about Palestine is the persecutions and the oppression being meted out against Muslims. But if you look at it in the overall context, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ. The Nabi of Allah went through much more difficult circumstances in Makkatul Mukarramah. But there came a time when he was entering Makkatul Mukarramah and he was reciting this verse, جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. There are certain benefits, if I can use that word, that, you know, that we can draw from a situation like this. Number one, the ulama mentioned that this is an opportunity for us to reunite as an ummah. It's an opportunity for us to reunite as an ummah. How have they divided us? By creating nation states. I am a South African. I am a Somalian. I am a Pakistani. Brother, you are a Muslim. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is irrelevant. But that is how they have divided us. Now when Muslims are being persecuted across the globe, it rekindles that spirit of identity in the heart. We then think to ourselves that, you know what, maybe I hold a South African passport. But wallahi, there is a greater passport than that. And that is the passport of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the passport of being from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful example the ulama tell us to quote on occasions like this. The Sahaba went through similar difficulty. It was the time of Uhud, and we know they had suffered a temporary defeat. Great soldiers, the likes of Hamza radiallahu anh, had been defeated. At one point, there was a rumor circulating that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had also been killed. They were hurting because of, you know, the fact that 70 great Sahaba had been murdered. The Nabi of Allah had lost two of his teeth. He had been injured. They were badly injured, and they were regretting their mistakes. We regret our mistakes today. We regret our behavior, which has perhaps added to the, you know, to the difficulty of our Palestinian brothers in terms of, you know, the decisions made by Muslim politicians years gone by. But they made those mistakes. The Sahaba, they did not follow that command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the archers to remain in that particular location. As a result, they suffered heavy losses. Now imagine, I'm just painting the scenario, what kind of mindset they had. As they were leaving, they were counting the dead, they were counting the injured. And most of all, what was most difficult for them was nursing that injured heart. That if only we had listened to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At that moment, what does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala say to the Sahaba? Wala tahinu, do not become weak. Wala tahzanu, do not grieve. Wa antumul a'launa in kuntum mu'minin. You will be victorious, you will be elevated, provided you are true believers. The promises of Allah are true, wallahi they are true. But the promises of Allah are made to true believers. Why did the Sahaba suffer defeat at the time of Uhud? It was because they had not listened to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why do we find ourselves in the situation that we find ourselves? It is for the very same reason that we have moved away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now we need to take the same consolation that the Sahaba took from that verse. Because they had made the mistake, we made the very same mistake, perhaps to a greater degree. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala told them that you learn from the past, but you don't dwell in the past. You need to look towards the future now. Allah further consoles them by saying, إِيَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. If you had been injured, then definitely your enemy has a similar injury toll. They might not make it manifest. They might not make it known to the world how many casualties they are suffering, how many hardships they are suffering. That, you know, that degree of invincibility that they had, that arrogance, that pride was brought to a still last year in the Lebanon war. And inshallah, may Allah make us see the day when it will be totally broken. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, إِيَّمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. If you are hurting, be rest assured, they are also hurting. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala explains His divine system. He says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. that these are the days that we cause to alternate between people. The ulama have written that this is the sunnah, it is the practice, it is the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that they have to be opposites. If you have harshness, then you'll have softness. If you have happiness, you'll have sadness. If you have ease, then you have difficulty. And the system of Allah is that one will not remain prevalent all the time. It will fluctuate between the two. So Allah is consoling us. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These days of victory, of supremacy, of control, of leadership, we alternate it between people. We had our chance, it's now their chance. Insha'Allah, our chance will come again. But remember again, جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَحَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. Those who are on truth, they will reign supreme forever. These are temporary setbacks. And those who are on batil, they will forever be overpowered, even though apparently it may seem that from time to time, they have some sort of supremacy or some sort of victory. There is a glimmer of hope, respected friends. Just look at the reaction here in South Africa this entire week, as 40 years was being marked since the 67 Israeli-Arab war. Look at the reactions. A cabinet minister, you know, the president of a trade union, government ministers marching, protesting, picketing, speaking out against the very fraternity from which they come. A Jewish cabinet minister speaking in defense of the Palestinians, speaking against the oppressive Zionist regime. Technology has its drawbacks, but in one of the benefits is it's no longer so easy for them to conceal the truth. Now people are starting to hear, people are starting to read, and people are starting to see the truth. You know, with regards to many incidences, all their cover-ups have been uncovered. All their lies have been made manifest. As I said, that arrogance is starting to diminish. Those brows of worry are starting to appear on their foreheads. But wallahi, the greatest stumbling block for them is the resilience, the resolve, the tenacity, the courage of the Palestinian people. Wallahi, we have to give due where it is due. Notwithstanding the fact that they don't have the weaponry, they don't have the machinery, they don't have the armory to combat them to that extent. But that young boy will stand in the face of a tank and he will throw that stone with all his might. He will take the name of Allah and he will throw it at stone. That has resulted in this issue being prolonged for such a duration. They had intentions of doing whatever they wanted to do and being completed from it a very long time ago. But the resilience, the courage, the steadfastness, and wallahi, the iman of the Palestinian people has kept them going. We need to give them due for that. History is on the side of the Palestinians. Many people will make claims. Just recently I heard this debate going on in the media, that why is it that the Muslims are claiming Palestine? Why is it that they're claiming Baitul Maqdis? The Jews also have a lot of significance attached to the place. The Christians also have a lot of significance attached to the place. I don't want to digress into that debate. Let me just put your mind to rest with one or two points. It was only when the Muslims ruled that the Jews and Christians had free access to Masjid al-Aqsa. We all know the incident of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an, when the priest told him that come and perform your salah in the church. He said, no, I'll perform my salah on the steps. I don't want tomorrow for anybody to turn this church into a masjid. We all know the incident, or perhaps we don't. Till today, the keys to the main church in Palestine is held by a Muslim. Every morning he goes and he opens the church for them. It was only under Muslim rule that the Jews and the Christians were allowed free access to Masjid al-Aqsa. And it was only when Muslims had ruled over Masjid al-Aqsa that there was no bloodshed. When the Christians had taken over, we all know about the Crusades. When the Jews have taken over, look at this great degree of oppression, this great degree of aggression, that even those who were you know, in the forefront of the apartheid struggle have come out publicly and said that what is happening in Palestine is nothing. What is happening in Palestine? You know, we cannot even compare it to what happened in South Africa. It's like a drop in the ocean. So things are looking up. In conclusion, we might be asking ourselves that what can we do? What can we do? The ulama have mentioned that remember your brothers on a daily basis. You know, if we have an indifferent attitude towards the suffering of our Muslim brethren, then wallahi, we have betrayed them. We have stabbed them in the back. We need to educate ourselves. We need to educate our children with regards to this issue of Palestine. What is the Islamic significance? What is the political, you know, strong points that we have as far as our claim is concerned? And as far as our standpoint is concerned, that our Muslim brothers are being tortured, are being oppressed. Today we can talk for hours on end on sport matches and on other issues which have totally no relevance. But you ask a Muslim who claims to love his Palestinian brother and sister that talk about the Palestinian issue. Motivate your standpoint, and alas, let us lament the fact and ask Allah for forgiveness from the bottom of our hearts as we sit in the masjid on this auspicious day. That may Allah forgive us. We have become so self-centered. We have become so materialistic. We have become so narrow-minded in our quest for more of this dunya that we have left our brother in Palestine in the lurch. Yes, charity, undoubtedly, whatever we can, you know, we can give in terms of monetary assistance, we ought to give and we ought to continue to give. We need to engage the media. We need to make people aware with regards to what is the truth from that which is the falsehood. We need to make people aware with regards to, you know, the plightful situation of our Muslim brethren. And we need to make dua. Now, normally when we say make dua, then people feel, but we're always making dua. We always have made dua. Let me tell you, with regards to an incident, we all know that the first victory in Islam was the Battle of Badr. You had the ill-equipped Muslims and the very well-equipped non-Muslims, the mushrikeen of Makkah. Yet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had granted the Muslims victory. The question is why? The night preceding the battle, the entire night, the Nabi of Allah stood and cried and begged in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to come and say to him, O Nabi of Allah, enough, Allah has heard your plea, Allah has heard your call. When that dua was made, that submission in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then the next day the first victory in Islam was achieved. I leave you with this hadith, with these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Nabi of Allah says this riwayat in Muslim Sharif, the dua of a Muslim for his brother when he is absent is readily accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to such an extent that Allah deputes an angel to say that may Allah grant you the same that you are requesting for your brother. Today Allah has granted us peace, comparatively speaking. Allah has granted us many luxuries, comparatively speaking. Let it not be that due to our indifference and our failure to make dua for our Palestinian brethren, one day it comes back to haunt us and it comes back to bite us. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.